Our first speaker, who is John Holloway. He works at the Universidad Autónoma de Pueblo, did I say that right? In Mexico. His latest book is Change the World Without Taking Power.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks very much for the invitation. I have to confess that I feel slightly nervous, that I feel doubly nervous. I feel nervous because this is actually the first time that I've ever come to speak in the evil empire, in this walled haven of oppression. And secondly, it's also the first time I've ever been in a conference on anarchism. So I'm really not quite sure where I am. I suppose I feel kind of unease about the title of the conference, because I don't think that we should start thinking about where we are or what we're doing by starting from a label or starting from an identity or indeed starting from a positive concept. I don't think we should start the discussion with the term anarchism. What I feel is that we have to start a discussion much more simply from saying no to this terrible, terrible world of oppression, no to war, no to the intensification of exploitation that is taking place, no to the terrible concentration of wealth and poverty, no to a world in which a child dies from poverty, what, every 3 seconds? No to the commodification of practically everything in society. Just no. No. And I think that this no is something we all share, whether we consider ourselves anarchists or not. It is a no that we share simply because we want to be humans. I think we have to start from the no. I also think that the no is very urgent. I think the no is very urgent simply because, I think it was Barry who said this morning, he talked about the intensification of class war. And I think that is what is happening, that capitalism is more aggressive and more destructive than it has ever been before. There is what Adorno talks of as a darkening of the world spirit. Like lemmings, we humans are rushing towards the cliff of our own self-destruction. We are, I think there are many reasons for thinking that we are quite possibly, quite probably perhaps, in the end game of humanity, and that we actually have to start thinking from there. We have to start thinking about what science means from there. We have to start thinking about what theory means from there. And that means that we have to go back to thinking about revolution. Revolution as being urgently necessary, not as a solution to the world's problems, but at least as a precondition to their solution. The end is nigh has always been a theme of radical thought, but I think there is probably more reason now than ever before for saying that quite probably, yes, the end really is nigh, unless we do something about it. So the question is, how can we stop this? How can we hope against hope? How can we squeeze hope? How can we find light in this black, black night? And I think, obviously, well, by saying no, by refusing in every way possible, by saying no to what's happening, by saying no to capitalism. And with these no's, I think what we do is we create dignities we create disobediences, insubordinations, cracks, fissures in the texture of capitalist command. Because capitalism is above all a system of command, a system of alien authority, the command of money, the command of capital. And when we say no, we create cracks in the system of command. And sometimes these cracks are so tiny that we don't even realize they're there. Sometimes they're people saying to themselves, no, I'm not going to let my life be determined by the dictates of capital. I'm going to do what I think is necessary, what I think is desirable, what I think would be fun. And sometimes they get together with friends, and sometimes they come together in a conference like this, and then you've got a slightly bigger crack. And sometimes you've got very big cracks, like the cracks in the Lacandona jungle with the Zapatistas, the cracks in Bolivia, the cracks in Argentina, the cracks in Ecuador a couple of weeks ago. And when you start thinking in terms of cracks, then you start looking around the world and you start thinking, you start seeing that in fact the world is full of cracks, that perhaps the night isn't as black as we thought, that in fact there are cracks all over the place. So the problem is, how do we multiply these cracks? How do we extend these cracks? How do we deepen these cracks? And I think this is the only possible way that we can think of revolution. The only possible way that we can think of anti-capitalist revolution is in terms of an interstitial revolution, in terms of a revolution that starts from these cracks and the gaps they create, as a spreading of these cracks. So the question then is, how do we think of these cracks? How do we conceive these cracks? How do we understand these cracks? And traditionally, I think what orthodox Marxists have done is to think of these cracks in terms of states. To think, well, yes, we do have to conquer the world. We do have to think of revolution in terms of one state at a time, which I think is what most orthodox Marxists would say. So you think of the cracks, you think of the states, you call these cracks in the world system of domination, you think of them as states. The problem is that if you think in terms of the cracks, if you think of the cracks in terms of states, then you are in fact defining your vision of the world in terms of capitalist forms. And that this tends to lead to the uncritical adoption of capitalist forms of organization and their reproduction within the anti-capitalist movement. So it tends, thinking in terms of states, tends to lead to bureaucratic, hierarchical, and alienating, and indeed racist forms of organization. And I think partly because of this, partly because of the experience over the last 100 years of just what thinking in terms of states means for the revolutionary movement, and partly because neoliberal capitalism itself has been closing the possibilities of going anywhere through the state or achieving anything through reformism. What's happening now in the world is that more and more people are looking to forms of rebellion that are not oriented towards the state, that do not have the conquest of state power on their agenda. They reject, therefore, also the party as a form of organization. And I think that's happening everywhere in the world. I mean, I don't think of it personally in terms of the influence of anarchism. I just think of it in terms of, well, that's what's happening, and for very good reasons. People are turning away from the state. They're turning away from the state as the focus of their political organization, turning away from the state as the focus of their expression of resistance and rebellion. And that is very clear at the moment, very clear in a contradictory way, but still very clear in Latin America at the moment. If you think, of course, of the Zapatistas, who say very clearly, we want to make a new world, we want to make the new world anew, but we do not want to take state power, we're not interested. If you look at Argentina and the big section of the Argentinazo of 2001, if you look at Bolivia over the last couple of years, if you look at Ecuador again and over the last 5-8 years. And I think the people involved in these movements generally do not think of themselves as anarchists. I mean, that goes back to the first point. It seems to me not terribly helpful to start. Sorry. But it seems to me not terribly helpful to start off from the concept of anarchism, because most of these people don't think of themselves as anarchists. So what they think, rather, and what I think is taking place, is rather a search for new ways of thinking about political action, new ways of expressing rebellion, new ways of thinking how we can change the world. And perhaps one can say that these movements have a number of important features in common, that they don't want to take state power. That's very clear. It's a central point. That they reject the party as a form of organization. That they understand their strength not in terms of elections or parties or armed movements, but rather in terms of their integration into the community. That they emphasize horizontality as a principle of organization, but not as a dogma. No, I think probably it's better not to think of horizontality. It seems to me more useful probably to think of anti-verticality. That they think of revolution as taking place not in the future, but here and now. The ya basta is fundamental. It's fundamental because simply we can't wait. There is no waiting anymore for revolution. It's too late. Also, I think they have in common that they all have some sort of, if they reject the taking of state power, then they have some sort of concept of anti-power, or perhaps they call it counter-power. Some sort of idea that our power is fundamentally different from their power, from the power of capital, that it's organized and structured in a different way. And finally, I think what they have in common is the idea of revolution or rebellion as a question, not as an answer. Okay? That the organizational forms are not answers. If they talk about horizontality, it's not an answer. It's a question, and the question is, how on earth can we go forward, because we don't know. One central challenge, I think, of these that these movements throw up is that they understand themselves. So the question is how to understand ourselves, not in terms of an elite, not in terms of a marginal movement, but as a movement that expresses the rebelliousness that is present in all of us. There is something that the Zapatistas say. It seems to me probably the most profound thing they say and the most difficult thing they say, though it seems the most simple. They say, we are common people. We are ordinary men and women, children and old people. That is to say, we are rebels. And they don't say we are ordinary indigenous in Chiapas. They say we are ordinary people. And that the challenge that they pose is for us to think in terms of rebellion, to think in terms of revolution, to see rebellion and revolution in terms of the rebelliousness of the ordinary people, of everybody around us. Because this morning the question was, how do we relate? How do we anarchists relate to the ordinary people in society? And it seems to me that what the Zapatistas are saying is something fundamentally different. That this question is not how do we relate to the ordinary people. The question is how do we understand ourselves as ordinary people. And how do we understand the rebelliousness in all of us? How do we see the invisible? How do we see something that is not visible, that is not obvious? And how do we articulate it? And I think that means starting from the subject as a self-divided subject, understanding ourselves as being contradictory and understanding everybody else as being contradictory. That it is simply not possible to live in capitalism without being rebellious in some way. And that is where we have to start from. It's important, I think, to see these no's as cracks. At least that's what I feel at the moment. For two reasons, I think. Firstly, because if we think in terms of an interstitial revolution, if we think in terms of revolution starting from cracks, then we're thinking of revolution here and now, wherever we are. You know, somebody said to us this morning, well, how, you know, here and when all the country is moving so far to the right, when it's so dreadful, how do we start? If you don't think in terms of the state, if you don't think in terms of the totality, but think in terms of your particularity, and think in terms of your crack, then you've already got somewhere to start. The question then is how you extend the cracks. And I think that's why I prefer cracks as well to autonomous spaces, because cracks move, cracks run, cracks deepen, cracks extend, they join up with other cracks. Cracks are inherently anti-institutional, and that is not true of the term autonomous state spaces. The danger, it seems to me, of the idea of an autonomous space is it can easily lead to a movement that closes in upon itself and then ceases to be a movement. Clearly, there are many problems about how we think of an anti-state, anti-capitalist politics, because that's what we're talking about. I think the problem, how we can survive without reproducing the state or the market, or not just how we survive without reproducing the state or the market, but how we relate to our own self-contradictory existence. How do we relate to the fact that, yes, we do reproduce the state, and we do reproduce the market, and still we want to fight against it? How do we protect ourselves against state violence if our cracks extend, if they deepen? Then how do we protect ourselves against state violence? Do we need to arm ourselves like the Zapatistas? Or is there some other way? Is there some sort of minimal degree of arming ourselves, physical self-protection? Or do we just think of self-protection in terms of our own integration into the community, which seems to me is probably the best way to think of it. The question of how we can really break with capitalist forms of social relations, for example. So there are hosts and hosts of problems, but it seems to me that these are the problems that are now being discussed everywhere, or lots and lots and lots of places, on a daily basis, on the basis of hard-fought experience, and that this is actually the only way that we can think seriously about changing the world, about breaking capitalism before it destroys us quite literally and quite totally. Or, as the Zapatistas say, preguntando caminamos, asking we walk.